In today's gospel, John the Baptist begins his call to prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonius, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It happened some years ago now in Chicago. About this time of year, in some of the poorer neighborhoods of Chicago, not the slums, but neighborhoods where people were struggling to make it, a man would appear on some of the streets, walk down the street, and as he passed people on the street, he would hand them a white envelope, wouldn't stop to talk to them, would greet them, Merry Christmas, smile on his face, give them an envelope, and just walk on. He became known as the Secret Santa, because in those white envelopes was a brand new $50 bill. He passed them out to these people that he felt were struggling. Nobody knew who he was. Finally, an enterprising reporter tracked him down and got his story. This was the story the reporter was told. The man told him that many years before, he had been really down and out, I mean, living out of his car. He'd been a salesman and lost his job, had no money, no family at the time, all by himself, and living out of his car. And one day, he hadn't had anything to eat in about 2 days, and he was really hungry. So out of desperation, he went into this little neighborhood restaurant and ordered a meal. Meal came, he gobbled it down. You can imagine he was starving. And toward the end of the meal, he said to himself, now, what am I going to do? I can't pay for this. What am I going to do? So he devised this little scheme in his mind. He started patting himself down. Where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? You know, I must have left my wallet someplace, thinking that, you know, he could say he'd come back and pay later or something. Well, the owner of the restaurant was watching all this and kind of understood what was going on. The owner made his way out from behind the counter to the back of where the man was sitting. The man didn't really see him doing this. And all of a sudden, he said to the man from behind him, look, you must have dropped this on the floor. He reached down and picked up a $20 bill, handed it to him. You must have dropped it there, he said. So the man paid his bill with that and had a few dollars left over. Now, of course, what had happened was that the owner of the restaurant recognized what was happening here, didn't want to embarrass that man, so played the game of, I found this must be yours. And the man, who then became the Secret Santa, said, you know, that day, was the beginning of a different life for me. I was at the lowest ebb I could possibly be at, And this man, this complete stranger, saved me. He said, now that I'm successful, I've put my life together, I'm really very successful, I feel I should pay others the same way. I should do something for others in the same way. That's what he's doing. I think it's a wonderful little story, true story, that helps us to understand what salvation means. See, that man, that the Secret Santa who became the Secret Santa, he was unable to do anything for himself. The shopkeeper, the restaurant owner, saved him. Imagine yourself being in a burning building, maybe the sixth floor of an apartment building. The hallways are on fire, the stairways are on fire. You can't get out of your apartment. What do you do? You look out the window, you see the firemen down below. What do you yell out to them? Save me. You're at the beach, swimming. A strong undertow comes along and starts dragging you out to sea. You can't swim well enough to get out of it. What do? Yell to the lifeguard, save me. See, all of those instances are like the same kind of thing that the man in the store, the restaurant, faced. You're in a situation where you can't do anything for yourself. You're in a terrible, threatening situation. You can't help yourself. You're totally dependent on someone else coming along and doing something for you that pulls you out of that situation. That's what salvation is. We're in a situation where we can't do anything for ourselves, and somebody comes along and pulls us out of that, saves us. That's what it means when we say Christ is our Savior. Christ brings us salvation. Christ is the Savior of the world. He comes into a world that is darkness, filled with pain, filled with anger and greed, and living under the constant threat of death. He comes into that world, which can't do anything for itself, and he brings us light. He brings us the path of brotherhood. He brings us the promise of eternal life. He saves us. We couldn't save ourselves from those situations. He comes to bring us that. That's why he's a Savior. What could we do with our sin? How could we deal with our sin by ourselves? We couldn't. How could we deal with death? What could we do about death? We can't do anything. Christ comes to pull us out of those situations, to save us. That's what salvation means. We can't do it ourselves, but he can. And he does for us what we can't do for ourselves. He saves us. Imagine what it would be like as you sit here this morning. What would the world be like if Christ had never come? What would the world be like? Imagine a world without Christ. What would it be like? Now, there is one caveat to all this. We have to accept salvation. If you're on the top of that burning building, the firemen finally make their way up the stairs and break into your room, want to take you out, you have to let them take you out, right? I mean, you could choose to stay. You'd be crazy to do that, but you could. You could choose to stay there. You have to choose to go with them. You have to accept the salvation that they bring you. The same thing is true with us in Christ. We have to accept that salvation. Unfortunately, there are many in our world who have not received it, who refuse to receive it. That's why the world continues to be in turmoil. Imagine for a moment this morning, because Christ has come, obviously, what the world would be like if every one of us, everybody in the world, lived by his teaching that we must love our neighbor as ourselves. What would the world be like if everybody did that? Remember now that the neighbor is everybody else, anybody else. What would the world be like if everybody did that? We choose not to. The world chooses not to. But he brought us salvation if we accept it, if we'll receive it, if we'll take it. That's what John the Baptist today is saying. Prepare the way of the Lord. Fill in the potholes in the roads. Lower the mountains down. Straighten out the path of God. Because if you do that, he says, if you accept what he wants to bring you, all flesh will see the salvation of God. All flesh will see the salvation of God if we let him save us. We pray that we will. Let me conclude with a little true story again that maybe illustrates what salvation looks like. This happened actually in our own parish a couple of years ago. One afternoon, a phone call came into the parish from a woman. She identified herself as a single mother with a couple of little children. Actually, she was sitting in her car right out here in the parking lot when she made the phone call, looked up the number of the parish with her phone, called. She was driving by and in desperation had pulled in here. Her situation was this. She had qualified for some public assistance, but it wasn't going to take effect for a month down the road. You know how those programs work. In the meantime, she hadn't been able to pay her rent for the month before and the month right now. And she'd received an order from the court a couple of weeks prior that if she didn't bring $250 to the court by the next day, she and her children would be evicted. She tried everything. Couldn't find any way to get that money. She had no family, nobody she could call on for that, no other assistance programs. So she was going to be thrown out of her house the next day. In desperation, she pulled in here. We checked out her story. We looked at the papers. We looked at all the court papers and everything else. We're convinced that she was telling us the truth. So out of our emergency fund, we gave her $250 to bring to the court. We saved her. You, through your generosity to that fund, saved her. See, she had no claim on us. She wasn't a member of the parish. She had no claim on us. But we were able to save her. She had no place else to go. She couldn't do it by herself. So that's what salvation is, being in that situation where you can't do anything for yourself and you're totally dependent on somebody else. That's the relation of the world to God. But God has offered us salvation in Christ. This morning, let us pray that we and the whole world will be open to what he wants to give us and bring us. We have to accept it. We have to want it. We have to live by it. But if we did, you know what that would mean? All flesh would see the salvation of God. All flesh would see the salvation of God. May God bless you.